إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek Allah's forgiveness, and we ask Allah's assistance. And we seek refuge with Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness, as you bear witness, inshaAllah, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, alone with no partners. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. May Allah exalt His mention, grant Him peace, His companions, and each and everyone who follows them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Brothers in Islam, continuing, and we're approaching the end of this particular book, Kashf al-Shubuhat fi al-Tawheed, removing the doubts concerning the, or Tawheed really means linguistically unification. And Islamically, it means maintaining the unity of Allah's names and attributes, Allah's lordship, and Allah's right to be worshipped alone. This is what Tawheed in essence means. And many so-called Muslims have what we call as shubuhat, doubtful matters concerning the relationship of the servant with his Lord. So they worship dead people, they worship people in the graves, they worship saints, they worship idols and other objects of worship which they consider to be intercessors with Allah. Shufa'a and Allah. They say these are our intercessors with Allah. You tell them that Islam came to teach you, as Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, call on to me, I will respond to you. InshaAllah did not tell us to go through any other channels except that you supplicate and Allah will respond. But these individuals insist that you need to go through some intermediaries who will get you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that book was compiled by the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi in order to refute this misunderstanding. And we had been dealing lastly with the fact that someone may say La ilaha illallah but void it with an action of theirs. And we mentioned many examples like the Sahaba fought Banu Hanifa, right? Remember that. And other incidents. And one of them is the incident of Usama radiallahu anhu, who so happened to kill a man during one of the battles who had said La ilaha illallah. So the Shaykh said, فَأَمَّا حَدِيثُ أُسَامَةَ فَإِنَّهُ قَتَلَ رَجُلًا ادَّعَى الْإِسْلَامَ بسبب أنه ظن أنه ما ادعاه إلا خوفا على دمه وماله. والرجل إذا أظهر الإسلام وجب الكف عنه حتى يتبين منه ما يخالف ذلك. As for the hadith of Usama, he had killed a man who claimed to be a Muslim. He declared his Islam. But Usama had thought that this man only did that, why? In order to protect his life, huh? He was afraid for his life and his wealth. Because we said that this man had killed many Muslims in the battle. And now when the sword is in his face and he knows he's about to get, you know, killed, and Usama has taken revenge for the deen of Allah and for his companions, the man said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. Meaning, don't kill me now. Now when, after you've killed all the Muslims, suddenly you want to escape with the statement. So Usama, he did what we know as ijtihad, radiallahu anhu. He exerted his knowledge. He assumed that this man is only saying this, not from his heart, which is obvious from the context. He's saying this only to escape. So he killed him anyways. Right? He still killed him. And the ruling is though, if a man declares his Islam, huh, stay away from him. You don't harm him until you can prove otherwise. And you will laugh if you know what happens at the da'wah center. At the da'wah center, we very often get some individuals, particularly Westerners, who may meet a Muslim woman, right? And then they want to get married, but then they get informed that, you know, you're not Muslim, so you cannot marry me, the lady will tell him, unless you become a Muslim. So we've had individuals come to the da'wah center, and without any, you know, without any shame, ask, how do I become a Muslim, and where do I get married? يعني على طول. He's not trying to hide the fact that, you know, so it's almost obvious, like this person, he doesn't care what Islam teaches, he doesn't even know what Islam is, he knows that he cannot marry this woman unless he enters into Islam. So he will come and do that. Now, Islamically, you have no right to say, Wallah, you're a munafiq, you're a hypocrite, you're only trying to get married. You can't, because it's in his heart. And you cannot, the Prophet ﷺ did not allow that. But what you do is you take advantage of the situation. He wants to enter into Islam for marriage. We say, okay, but we have to teach you some things first. We have a course for the new Muslim. After you learn and you graduate, we'll give you a certificate. Then through the certificate, you can get married. So we actually take advantage of that and deliver the message of Islam. Very often these people wind up accepting Islam, not for the marriage anymore, but because they found that it's really truly the religion of God. Some of them had expressed this to, like Dr. Yahya, afterwards. He said, listen, when I came in the beginning, it wasn't for Islam, but alhamdulillah, now I really believe it's the religion of Allah. So, you know, you get some interesting incidents. The idea is, once someone says, La ilaha illallah, you back off. You don't make any accusations unless you have evidence. Now, not like that also. No, you see someone praying to a statue, he tells you, La ilaha illallah, say, listen, man, I have evidence against you now. So we will see how that is understood. Anyways, concerning that incident with Usama, Allah revealed the particular ayah of Surah An-Nisa, verse 94. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O you who believe, if you strike in the cause of Allah, then verify. This ayah was revealed for this particular incident. If you strike in the cause of Allah, verify whether this person's Islam, to why did he become a Muslim. And you cannot assume that he did it for that and kill him without giving him the chance to either live according to Islam or not. So if the person says the Shahada, you can no longer say he's not a Muslim. You treat him as a Muslim. But then we will observe him. Does he establish the Salah? If he does what Islam teaches, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't, then we will recognize that his initial declaration of faith was fake. Then that the other rulings are applicable to him, apostasy and so on and so forth. So then that only happens after the passage of time and verification. So Allah says, verify. أي فتثبتوا فالآية تدل على أنه يجب الكف عنه والتثبت. So the ayah indicates that you should affirm, that you should back off. Don't do anything, but rather you should verify first and foremost. فَإِن تَبَيَّنَ مِنْهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مَا يُخَالِفُ الْإِسْلَامِ قُتِلْ. If it, afterwards, he does things that oppose Islam, then we will not consider him to be a Muslim to begin with, and he will be killed accordingly because of his apostasy. وَلَوْ كَانَ لَا يُقْتَلْ إِذَا قَالَهَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لِلتَثَبُّتِ مَعْنَى. And had that not been the case, that he would be killed, then there would be no point of Allah, in Allah saying, verify. Verify meaning because it's going to be one of two things. Otherwise Allah would have said, leave him alone. And there's nothing, no other consequences. But the fact that verification was commanded by Allah, meaning investigate. And based on the result, either the ruling will apply or the ruling will not be applicable. وكذلك الحديث الآخر أمثال. And similarly the other narrations, which is I was commanded to fight the people until they say لا إله إلا الله. And other narrations. معناه ما ذكرناه أن من أظهر التوحيد والإسلام وجب الكف عنه إلا إن تبين منه ما يناقض ذلك. Which proof what we have explained earlier. If a person declares the testimony of faith and he claims to be a Muslim, you're not allowed to harm him in any way, shape, That is initial statement. So you find, you know, a Hindu who will, you know, maybe he's afraid for his life, or maybe they told him if you become a Muslim they give you some money, they give you some benefit, maybe you take Friday, you know, day off. If they make him work on Friday, say Allah, I'm just gonna come and enter into Islam and get some, you know, some worldly benefits. You get these people who claim to be Muslims outwardly, but inside they're not really convinced. So if you go visit him at his home and you find that this man still has some, you know, statues of various idols that the Hindus worship, and then, you know, we say, okay man, what's up with your Islam? What happened to Tawheed? What happened to these? What are these doing at your house? You see, if you go home and you threw them away, then this is the verification now. Of course, you don't implement the ruling yourself. If he became an apostate, then you inform the government and those in charge, and then they will deal with them accordingly. It's not for me and you to come and implement the ruling of you know, taking the life of someone on our own. Dealing with ridda, which is apostasy, which is abandoning Islam after being part of it. Yeah, there's a, you know, we said in all of Madahib al-Arba'ah, in the books of fiqh, there's a chapter dealing with the rulings of Ahlul Ridda, those who apostate from Islam after being among the Muslims. Al-Muhim, والدليل على هذا أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي قال أقتلته بعدما قال لا إله إلا الله وقال أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يقول لا إله إلا الله هو الذي قال في الخوارج أينما لقيتموهم فقتلوهم لأن أدركتهم لأقتلنهم قتل عاد. The evidence for what we are saying is the fact that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the same one who said, did you kill him? To Usama, after he said La ilaha illallah, meaning it's not acceptable, and who said I was commanded to kill the people until they say La ilaha illallah, is the same one who said about the Khawarij. Does everybody know the Khawarij? Who knows the Khawarij? Raise your hand. Only two brothers, three brothers, some four brothers, some are elected. Now you know, but you're afraid I will ask you something. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you anything. But I will tell you what the Khawarij are. The Khawarij, from the word Kharaj, and has nothing to do with the Khuruj that is done by some individuals. Kharaj or Khuruj is to go out, going out. And they were called Al-Khawarij because they went out against the Muslim ruler. And this was the first group of people to deviate from fundamentalism, or the real Islam, which is called Orthodox Islam, the mainstream Islam, the first group ever to deviate before all of the sects that we have today. The first ones were the Khawarij. The Khawarij were the students of the Sahaba. Pay attention now, look who they were getting their knowledge from. But the Prophet ﷺ said concerning them, Iman does not go beyond their throats. Iman did not make it to the heart. So they had the outwardly appearance of Islam, but inside they were lacking that. And they reached extremism until they declared the Sahaba and others to be kuffar. They considered any Muslim who commits a major sin, a kabira, min al-kabair, to be a kafir. يعني you drink wine والعياذ بالله, you're no longer a Muslim. And to them, you have left Islam, and so your blood is lawful. This was their mentality. They declared kufr against the Sahaba, the most righteous of people. And the first act that they did is they went against the Prophet ﷺ. He was distributing some war booty that they had gained, and he was giving it according to alayhi salatu wasalam. And this man came and said, Ya Muhammad, i'dil. He said, Oh Muhammad, be just. Accusing the Prophet ﷺ of being oppressive, a'udhu billah, of not being just, of transgression in his division of the gains. So the Sahaba Umar said, Oh Messenger of Allah, allow me to chop off his head. This is kufr, man. If you think the Messenger of Allah will do something that is against the teachings of Islam, then you have destroyed Islam. Prophet ﷺ said, leave him. But then he said, from his likes, from this man, will come the Khawarij. And And he said in this hadith, which is in Bukhari, he says, wherever you meet them, kill them, those Khawarij, when they come. Verily, if I were to be around when they come as a group, then I will kill them like the killing of the people of Aad. This is what Rasulullah said concerning who? And it's the same people whom he told the Sahaba, if you were to compare your salah, to their salah, and your fasting to their fasting, you will belittle yourself. You say, I'm nothing. Because of their hands used to be dry from keeping them in the state of sujood for many hours in the heat. Extreme ibadah, extreme. That the Sahaba would think, my salah is no good compared to one of the Khawarij. Yet, although they said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, worshipping Allah extensively, the Prophet ﷺ said what he said concerning them. What is this trying to prove? That the same one who told you, did you kill him after he said, La ilaha illallah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the one who confirmed that if you do some other things after you say, La ilaha illallah, you nullify it. That's what we're trying to prove. All this is so we can tell those who worship the graves, that who tell you, but I say La ilaha illallah, how are you comparing me to the disbelievers of Quraysh? We are using these arguments to say, listen, you're not the first one. Many people before you said La ilaha illallah, and Islam considered them to be non-Muslims because of some other actions that they did which nullified their shahada. You see the point of the argument then. So these were the Khawarij. The Shaykh said, مَعَنَّهُمْ كَوْنِهِمْ مِنْ أَكْثَرِ النَّاسِ عِبَادًا وَتَهْلِيلًا. Although they were the most extensive in worship, they were the most sincere in the sense by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. وَتَهْلِيلًا. What does tahleel mean? Tahleel. What is takbir then? Hey, tahleel is La ilaha illallah. No. Tahmeed is Alhamdulillah. Tasbih, Subhanallah. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Tahleel is La ilaha illallah. I used to get confused the same way, ma'alish. So tahleel then is La ilaha illallah. They used to say that often. Remember Allah and do the whole nine yards. Hatta anna sahaba yuhaqqiruna salatahum indahum. Even the sahaba will belittle their prayer in their presence, as I told you. Wahum ta'allamu al-ilma min as-sahaba. And they learned knowledge from the sahaba. فَلَمْ تَنْفَعْهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. It did not benefit them. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. It did not benefit them. وَلَا كَثْرَةُ الْعِبَادَةِ. And not the abundance of worship that they were engaged in. وَلَا ادْعَى الْإِسْلَامِ لَمَّا ظَهَرَ مِنْهُمْ مُخَالَفَةِ الشَّرِيعَةِ. Nor the claiming of Islam when it was clear that they had opposed the Sharia, the law of Islam, in the various ways. وكذلك ما ذكرناهم قتال اليهود وقتال الصحابة بني حنيفة. Similarly, what we have mentioned earlier, this is all a summary concerning fighting against the Jews, who also said لا إله إلا الله. بنو حنيفة also said لا إله إلا الله. وكذلك أراد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يغزو بني المصطلق لما أخبره رجل أنهم منعوا الزكاة. Similarly, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had intended to attack Bani al-Mustalik when a man told them that they don't want to pay zakah anymore. Some man came and said to the Messenger of Allah, these people, they don't want to pay zakah anymore. So the Prophet ﷺ intended to actually go there and deal with them. But Allah revealed this ayah. حَتَّى أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ كَاسِفٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Oh, you will believe. If a disobedient, corrupt person comes to you with news, then verify, investigate, lest you will wrongfully accuse people with ignorance, based on ignorance, and then you will become afterwards regretful for what you have done. And this ayah is the principle in Islam, that whenever somebody brings you news, you don't automatically confirm the news unless he's known for being a righteous brother. If it's somebody that is wicked, then you must verify. Which tells you that many of the things that you read in the magazines and the newspapers and on TV, predominantly they're brought to you by the most corrupt people. Not just corrupt people, the most corrupt of people are the people in the media, usually. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ اللَّهُ. So then you have to verify. Not as soon as you read something, you automatically start circulating this information and assume that it is correct because it may be a lie. And you know, no news agency produces any news to the public until it goes through some major screening by individuals who have particular views and ideologies, and they make sure that the news are customized accordingly, so they will only give you what they want you to know. Very often it's just the opposite of the truth. And so that's why you cannot really believe anything that you see today. They bring you on the news, you know, all kinds of things. You must verify before you assume or accuse a Muslim of something which he did not do. وَكَانَ الرَّجُلُ كَاذِبًا عَلَيْهِمْ. This man who had come to Prophet ﷺ and told them that they don't want to pay the zakah was a liar. And so Allah revealed this ayah. Before you go into action, verify. Is it true that they don't want to pay the zakah? You see, it turned out that the man was a liar. And they have no problem in paying zakah. So subhanAllah. فَكُلُّ هَذَا يَدُلْ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مُرَادَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْأَحَدِيثِ الَّتِي يَحْتَجُ بِهَا مَا ذَكَرْنَا. But what is the evidence? The Prophet ﷺ was willing to go over there, huh? And fight against them because they only wanted to withhold on zakah. Which means that they said La ilaha illallah, but the Prophet ﷺ did not feel that this was sufficient, because if they were to deny the zakah, as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, when after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, some of the people said, we will no longer pay zakah. Huh? We only pay to the Messenger of Allah. He said, he refused. He said, Allah did not distinguish between salah and zakah in the book of Allah, in the Quran. He will always fight. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Allah always mentioned them in pairs. He said, whoever tries to separate them, I will not accept that of him. And he did not allow them to withhold on anything that they used to give the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the evidences that we have. طيب. وَلَهُمْ شُبُهَا أُخْرَى وَهِيَ مَا ذُكِرَ وَمَا ذَكَرَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم أَنَّ النَّاسَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَسْتَغِيثُونَ بِآدَمَ ثُمَّ بِنُوحٍ ثُمَّ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ ثُمَّ بِمُوسَى ثُمَّ بِعِيسَى فَكُلُّهُمْ يَعْتَذِرُونَ حَتَّى يَنْتَهُوا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. The other doubtful matter that the grave worshippers will present to you is the following. They will say, the people on the Day of Judgment will seek help from Adam, then from Nuh, then from Ibrahim, then from Musa, then from Isa alayhi salatu salam, and all of them will apologize. Each one of them will present a reason why he does not believe that he is fit for that Shafa'a al-Kubra. Each one will say, I have made a mistake. I have made a mistake. Except the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah has honored me and you by making us His followers. Pay attention. You could have been the follower of Jesus or Moses or Ibrahim. It is not as virtuous as being the follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's the best, and following the best makes you among the best. That's why all of the scholars agree that the Sahaba are the best people on earth after the Anbiya. After the Prophets, no companions of a Prophet are better than the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Better than the disciples of Jesus and the followers of Musa and so on and so forth. So this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that we should live according to the sunnah. This man whom Allah chose alayhi salatu salam as al-huda, the guidance for us, and he favored us by being his followers, it is only befitting and it's only fair that the gratitude and the thankfulness we have to Allah is by following him alayhi salatu salam in every aspect of life. And we emphasize, in every aspect of life. And everybody sitting here knows that Islam deals as a comprehensive way of life. It deals with everything that has to do with your life. The spiritual, the social, the economical, the physical, and the mental. Everything in your life. From your hair, to your toes, to your house, to your family, to your children, to your business, this? Islam tells you how to deal with everything, right or wrong? Can you follow him in some things and abandon others? It's not befitting. Say, wallah, I like the economical, you know, system of Islam, but I don't like, you know, the things that have to do with the physical appearance. This is not for me. We say, akhi, you're not, your iman is not sound. This is not true love. True love means imitating. And the biggest evidence is what? Look at the youth. All day, what do they wear? Soccer shirts. Because of some loser, some kafir, predominantly some kafir from some Allahu a'lam which country, who their the emblem of their country is a cross. Very often, like, you know, Manchester and all these countries, England, it's a cross. But you find a Muslim imitating that. If that soccer player or basketball player was to cut half of his hair and leave the other one bald, you will find that the youth will go and do that. If they're able to do so, believe me, they will do it. If whatever he did, they will do. Same thing with those who follow the singers and the actors. They're always trying to look like them. You know, the youth want to look like rappers. So, he, you know, he wears his hat sideways and he wears his big baggy clothes, which you cannot find him in them. You have to search for him in the clothes, you know, dragging them 60 feet below his ankles, you know. And then if you speak to him, you know, in English, he doesn't even speak English. Say, hey man, why are you trying to look like, you know, these rappers? And you know, this is not you. This is not you. This is not what Allah wanted for you. So why? Because they love them. And so what about me and you? How is it then that we love the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, but we cannot seem to imitate him? It doesn't make sense, man. That means we really don't love. Or our love is limited, is deficient. Only love when we hear him, we say, Allahumma salli wa sallam ala Muhammad. Or something along these lines. It's not enough. That's not how you express your love. You know, there's a story, they say that a woman was, you know, she had a child, right? And she was cooking in the kitchen, you know. And her son came to her and said, you know, mom, I love you very much. And so she said, oh, I love you too, my son, you know. Can you please, you know, hand me this bowl? Can you hand it to me? Oh no, I'm busy now. I'm playing. I said later. He goes away. I might be mushkila. Few hours later he comes back. Hey mom, you know I love you very much. So I love you too, my son. Can you please help me by putting the laundry in the washing machine? Say, no, I'm busy now, I'm playing video games. Bad day. I cannot do it right now. Might be mushkila. Third time around he comes, you know mom, I love you very much, so I love you too. Says, can you, you know, go down to the grocery store and buy me some, you know, whatever, some chocolate. Say, no, mom, I don't have time for this. But the fourth time he comes, says, mom, I love you. She says, time out. What kind of love is this, man? What kind of love is this? You say you love me, huh? And every time I ask you for something, you can't even bother to do it. What kind of fake love is this? What would be better for you is to keep your mouth shut, and when I tell you something, you do it. That is love. I don't need to hear love. If you say it, alhamdulillah. But I can see love by you obeying me. I tell you, you do. That is an expression of love. But to talk is cheap. And so when we say we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we say we can't seem to follow him in the ultimate sense, then that means that our love is not genuine. And you know, if you want to enter Jannah, you better have that in part of your formula. Part of your formula for success is the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without his love, you may never go to Jannah. Or you may go to Jahannam first, and you may not get the shafa'ah, the intercession, on the Day of Judgment, because you were not among the true lovers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba used to tell him, "Fidaka abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah," meaning, may my mother and father be ransomed for you. Yani, if we had to choose between the survival of my mom and dad, or their death for your survival, then let my mom and dad die. But you remain alive. This is how much they loved him. But not only they said that, they lived that. In the battles, they would put themselves in the forefront to protect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we don't have to do any of that. All we have to do is follow him. When he tells you something, do it. You see? Subhanallah, very easy. Allah made Islam easy for us today because of our weakness. See, the Sahaba, they were tough. We're weak and Allah made it convenient for us. Still, most people don't care. You know, you have to kind of beg them. Yaqi, please, please, please follow the message of Allah. I don't want to. You follow him. You mutawwi. That's your business. This is the business of mutawwi. And when I say mutawwi, I don't mean someone who has a beard. Okay, that is wrong. This is a wrong expression that is innovated in this country. I've never heard it anywhere else. Where someone who has a beard is called a mutawwi. The word mutawwi was mentioned in the Quran for your information. In the plural, mutawwi'in. And it was mentioned when some of the Sahaba who were poor, when they needed, in one of the expeditions, they were commanded to bring some sadaqah. And some of them brought, you know, dates, whatever they had. So the munafiqeen, they were laughing at them. Say, what are we going to do with some dates, man? So they tried to belittle the sadaqah that the brothers had. So Allah criticized them for criticizing al-mutawwi'in. So mutawwi' from the word ta'a, which is obedience to Allah. And how often does a man have a beard, but he has no ta'a to Allah? His character is horrible, his behavior is bad, his ibadah is not for the sake of Allah. And we can put a lot of dots, and we can let all this brother mutawwi', man, just because he's let his beard go. Maybe he thinks it's fashionable. Maybe he thinks it looks good on him. Maybe he has something he's trying to cover. Yet at the same time, we don't say, we don't want to go to the other extreme where they say, well, this beard is, you know, just optional. It's only optional. It's not optional. The form of that, including Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, it's an obligation on the Muslim male to leave his facial hair grow. You don't have to do anything, just leave it alone. It will come by itself. You don't have to water it, you don't have to take vitamins, you don't have to put olive oil, nothing. You just leave it alone and Allah is the one who allows it to grow. All you have to do is not shave it when it comes. Now, people follow the madhab, you see. When the madhab is convenient, you say, "Akhi, this," he said, "but our madhab says no." Tab, your madhab says you should let your beard grow. Say, "Oh, but I don't want to do that." That means you're not following the madhab, you're following your desires. You see? So, in essence then, the beard is a form of ta'a. But it is not necessary that everyone who has a beard, meaning he's a rajul salih, he's a righteous man. But it is an indication that the person loves the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at least in some aspect, from what we can tell outwardly. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there's a piece of flesh in the body. If it's sound, then the whole body will be sound. If it is corrupt, then the whole body will be corrupt. It is the heart. So that's why the scholars say, if your heart was sound, then everything else will be sound. You see, so I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but we need to remind ourselves. I know these things are sensitive, and people usually don't like to hear discussions that may offend them in any way, shape, or form. But this is the obligation of the brothers towards each other. Otherwise we'll be faking, just to make everybody happy. We say the things that they want. Well, how are we going to change? We will never change. So it's only a reminder, inshallah. Don't feel offended or anything. We love you for the sake of Allah. But at the end of the day, loving the Prophet ﷺ has indications. And part of that is that we follow him ﷺ in every aspect of life. No exception. No exception whatsoever. We will have shortcomings, but there are things that are attainable. Anyways, so who will intercede when all of the prophets will apologize? It is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these people say, فَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِسْتِغَاثَةَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ شِرْكًا. So they say, seeking aid from other than Allah is not shirk. Because the people will come to the Prophet say, help, help, huh? So they say, why are you saying no, we're doing a shirk if the people will do this on the Day of Judgment? فَالْجَوَابُ أَنْ نَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ مَنْ طُبِعَ مَنْ طَبَعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ أَعْدَائِهِ. We answer them by saying, first, how perfect or glory be to the one who has sealed the hearts of his enemies. فَإِنَّ الْإِسْتِغَاثَةَ بِالْمَخْلُوقِ عَلَىٰ مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ لَا نُنْكِرُهَا. Seeking aid from the creation in terms of things that they are able to do. We don't deny that. We don't deny that. كما قال تعالى في قصة موسى فاستغاثه الذي من شعته على الذي من عدوه. As Allah told us in the Quran, Musa, you know the story of Musa and with the man who was fighting, one of the children of Israel was fighting with one of the Aqbat, the Coptic Egyptians, which were Christians. And while they were fighting, Musa was going around, was walking in town, and the people, one of the children of Israel, sought the aid of Musa against that one enemy. So Musa, they say he just went like this to him and he killed him. Musa was very strong. Alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very strong man. He barely, you know, went like this to the man and the man was killed automatically. The idea is, Allah says in the ayah, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. The one who was one of his people sought his assistance against his enemy. So istighatha, in terms of help me against my enemy, is fine. That's not like going to a dead person and telling him to intercede with you with Allah. This is shirk. That is not shirk. وكما يستغيث الإنسان بأصحابه في الحرب وغيرها من الأشياء التي يقدر عليها المخلوق. Similarly, you may seek aid from your friends during wartime or things that the human beings are able to do for you. ونحن أنكرنا استغاثة العباد التي يفعلونها عند قبور الأولياء. What we do criticize is the istighatha that they do as an act of worship at the graves of the saints that they consider to be saints. أو في غيبتهم في الأشياء التي لا يقدر عليها إلا الله. Or by seeking help from them concerning things that none can do but Allah. Healing. Can anyone heal but Allah? What did Ibrahim say? وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. And if I become ill, it is He who cures me. So no one can give you cure but Allah. The doctor can give you medicine, he can treat you, but he cannot bring about health. So that is only for Allah. But to say, akhi, hand me this napkin, this is a form of istighatha. But this is not shirk, because this is something that man can do. If you said that this is shirk, then you cannot talk to anyone in the world. You have to live independently, which is not what Islam teaches. طيب, إذا ثبت ذلك فالاستغاثة بالأنبياء يوم القيامة يريدون منهم أن يدعو الله أن يحاسب الناس حتى يستريح أهل الجنة أو أهل الجنة من كرب الموقف. So if this is confirmed, then the aid that they're seeking from the prophets on the day of judgment is that they only want them to ask Allah to expedite the accountability or the reckoning, so the people of Jannah will relax. Because the wait, we said it's 50,000 years. And you know, the people just can't take it anymore. So they want that so the people of Jahannam can go to Jahannam, the people of Jannah can go to Jannah. This is what is intended by their assistance that they're seeking from the prophets. Not that the prophets are in charge or anything of this nature. وَهَذَا جَائِزٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And this is permissible in this dunya and in the hereafter. أَنْ تَأْتِيَ عِنْدَ رَجُلْ صَالِحَ حَتَّى يُجَلِسُمْ ويسمع كلامك وتقول له ادعو الله لي. That you come to a living, عفوا, حي. يجالسك ويسمع كلامك وتقول له ادعو الله لي. If you come to a man who is righteous, he sits with you, he speaks with you, it's okay to say, make dua for me. Although, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and many scholars dislike that. They dislike that because it entails depending on people. And Allah says in the Quran, اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. You, the supplicator, call on to me and I will respond to you. So the asl then is that you depend on yourself. There's no harm if you do it. But some people depend on everybody else and not on themselves. So they don't run from a righteous man to what they believe are righteous people and say, please make dua for me, please make dua for me. But this is not how it's supposed to be. Yes, you may at times, but it is not the most recommended way of doing things. Rather, you should depend on yourself and directly ask Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is better. But there's no harm in asking others. Either way, it's not shirk. If I say, akhi, please make dua for me. You know, I have exams. Huh? Please make dua. There's nothing wrong with that. And this is not considered istighatha, as the mushrikeen do istighatha with the people in the graves. كما كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسألونه في حياته. As the companions used to ask the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم during his life, right? Remember the hadith of Jumu'ah when he was given khutbah, and a man came and said that, you know, drought, we're unable to travel, there's no water, ask Allah to give us rain. And Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made dua and Allah gave them rain. So that was allowed during his life. أما بعد موته فحاشا وكلا أنهم سألوه ذلك عند قبره. After he died, nay. Never did the Sahaba go to his grave and ask, O Messenger of Allah, give us that. Help us. Aid us. They never did that. Actually, بل أنكر السلف الصالح على من قصد دعاء الله عند قبره فكيف دعاؤه نفسه أو نفسه. Actually, the righteous predecessors, they disliked and they reprimanded the one who makes dua to Allah at that grave. Pay attention. Even asking Allah at the grave, they didn't like that because it may lead to shirk. Then what about calling upon him himself? So the Sahaba never did that. And when he ﷺ died and they wanted to do istisqa, who did they go to? His uncle Al-Abbas. They went to Al-Abbas and they asked him to ask Allah to give them rain. They didn't ask Prophet ﷺ who had died. So then asking someone alive is not shirk if you believe that this man is righteous, and Al-Abbas was righteous, was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. But the Sahaba understood that they can't go to the grave and ask the Prophet ﷺ after he died to give them to do istisqa, which shows you that they understood that this is shirk, and this is why they never did that. And the last thing that I will deal with is the doubtful matter that they present is the story of Ibrahim. And that story actually has no basis. The story was mentioned by the author, and you've heard it many times, when Ibrahim was going to be, when the people were about to throw him in the fire, then Allah sent Jibreel, right? And Jibreel told him, do you need anything of me? And he told him, no, from you I don't need anything. But from Allah, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. That particular story that is often quoted is unauthentic. There's no sanad, there's no chain of narrators, لَا أَصْلُ لَهَا. According to the ulama of hadith, it has no basis. It's not a hadith, it's not a valid interpretation. So that story of Ibrahim being offered help from Jibreel when the people wanted to throw him in the fire is a fictional fable. So because of that, you don't use it. And this is why I will not deal with the explanation, because it's not even authentic to begin with. So with that said, inshallah we will conclude. Next week inshallah ta'ala will be the last week dealing with this book. Okay, inshallah ta'ala we will conclude with a very interesting summary of the book, actually in a few words. And we will be deciding about the upcoming book. I know I've been promising, and you know, we've been having some issues with the choice of books, and we said we were going to deal with the 40-hour, right? But then another suggestion came from one of the students of knowledge from Medina University, and he suggested, and it's a very valid suggestion, that we deal with another book before we deal with the 40 Nawawi. Something that is more fundamental, which is Al-Usul Al-Thalatha. And in our case, we'll do the Sharh of Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, which is the three fundamental principles and the explanation of that, which is the fact, just to give you what the book may be about if you're interested, it's about the fact that you should know the deen of Allah, which is knowing Allah, His Messenger, and Islam through textual evidences, acting accordingly, calling the people to that, and being patient in the process. These are the principles, and there's more. It's much more elaborated upon. But it's very crucial for all of us to become better du'at, inshallah, because each one of us here who speaks English is expected to be giving da'wah to the non-Muslims that are around him, in the neighborhood, at work, whatever they are. You have an obligation to give them da'wah, because they don't know Islam unless somebody who speaks their language invites them to Islam. And so this book, inshallah, will be helping us know the foundations by which you use to give da'wah, and what are the things that you must know as a da'iyah, and things of this nature. So anyways, we'll vote for it. And if everybody's okay with it, then that would be what we would do, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. And wallahu waliyu tawfiq, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina.